Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 27th, 2021. Today is Saturday in the fifth week of Lent. I'd like to read a couple of verses from the 18th chapter of John. Pilate asked Jesus, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Now, to be clear, we don't know the inflection that Pilate used in his question. We don't know whether he was asking the question rhetorically, just to get back at Jesus, or if he was asking the question from a place of curiosity, hoping to engage in some sort of philosophical debate. I tend to think that Pilate was asking the question cynically. To be the governor of this problematic part of the Roman Empire, he didn't have time for debates. He didn't have time to engage with a would-be prophet from Galilee who had been dumped on his doorstep by the religious leaders. Pilate had seen it all. Pilate had heard it all. My imagination tells me that Pilate was a grizzled, hard-crusted politician. He knew about power dynamics, and he knew about power plays. So he's not asking the question in any way to know more about Jesus. The question is a dismissive one. What's truth? Who knows? When you've been at it as long as I have, everybody's got a truth. Now that would be the political answer, right? Everybody's got their truth, and there isn't any real truth. It's just everybody's perspective on the truth. You tell me what's the truth, Jesus. We're familiar with that. We're familiar with hearing that everybody has their own version of the facts, and that the facts don't necessarily tell us the truth. But Jesus is not talking about, as I've mentioned before, something as narrow as facticity. We began, as I've mentioned before, with John in the prologue saying, "We beheld the Father's glory in Jesus, full of grace and truth." Jesus says in John chapter 8, "If you know the truth will set you free." In fact, truth, the truthfulness of the testimony of those who witnessed Jesus' miracles, the truthfulness of the gospel itself, the witness that the gospel gives to the words and deeds of Jesus, these are important themes. In fact, the Greek word for truth is used 25 times in the Gospel of John. And as we're reading along in the Gospel of John, before we get to where we are now with the trial of Jesus, we might have picked up on the number of times that Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, I'm telling you the truth." And then, just recently, we've read where Jesus tells his disciples in the farewell discourse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So truth in the Gospel of John is identified with both the message that Jesus comes to bring and the person that Jesus is. The message and the person. What is truth? The truth is Jesus. Through the years, I've had people ask me the question, relative to Christianity, how do you know it's true? They're not asking what is truth. They're asking, how do I know that there is an intellectual integrity to being a Christian? And here's where I believe we have to get into the deeper water of faith, which is also one of the key themes in John, faith and belief being to put one's trust in. You put your trust in the one who says, I'm the truth. Interesting. Trust and true, trust and truthfulness, those are all cognate words. And someone will say, well, that's all a recursive loop. I still don't know if the words of Jesus or even if the person of Jesus is true. I got to know it's true. I have to know that it literally happened. And I know that that is a challenge for many people. I often have people say to me that they cannot recite the Nicene Creed because they don't believe it's true. My response is sometimes, say it long enough. Say it as a prayer. Say it because you want to believe it's true. Just say it. Over time, you might find you do believe it. You see, I do not believe that faith or trust in Jesus is a one-and-done deal. I believe that it's a journey. And there are times when our trust is strong, and there are times when our trust is challenged, and there are times when our trust is weak, and there are times when our trust is tenuous, and there's times when our trust is absent. But here's the good news. Our relationship with God is not solely dependent upon our ability to be trusting all the time. One of the things that I believe happens to us as followers of Jesus is that the longer we follow the way of Jesus, trusting in the truthfulness of Jesus, the more we begin to experience the life of Jesus. Here's a thought experiment. What would it be like to simply behave as if the gospel is true? What do you have to lose, really? The good news of Jesus gives us a way to live. A way of life that has quality that John says is eternal. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. How will the truth make us free? By following the way of Jesus and living toward the truth of Jesus and discovering the life of Jesus, I believe that we will begin to experience an internal coherence, an internal coherence that will lead to a freedom of spirit. Okay, so maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you believe, oh, it's just the priest who's babbling on. But here's the thing. Try it. Just try it. I put my trust in Jesus with all of my ups and downs and all of the days when I've been a faithful follower of Jesus and all of the days when I've struggled to even know which direction to take. I've put my trust in Jesus. And so far, I have discovered that Jesus is trustworthy. And I'll bet you will too. What is truth? Pilate asks cynically. Well, I know the truth. The truth is Jesus. And the truth will indeed set us free. Let us pray. O God, in your goodness you bestow abundant graces on your elect. Look with favor, we entreat you, upon those who in these Lenten days are being prepared for holy baptism, and grant them the help of your protection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.